This morning's scripture reading will come from Matthew 6:33. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Folks, if I could get you to turn, stay there in chapter 6 there of Matthew and stuff. And before I start, just good to see all the visitors. I think I got some new neighbors here that's camping down the road from me. So on that set, it's just nice to see this side filling up there. And so we're in chapter 6 here. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. And I just like to look at 6 in verse 21 just to start this off. He says, and where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've talked about this earlier, but just an introduction to this lesson. My wife and I, we used to like to watch the Home and Garden Network. It's the most dangerous network on TV because my wife would sit there and watch it, and they're building some multi-million dollar addition to the house. And she goes, hey, Mitt, you got a hammer, don't you? Saw or something. Oh, here we go. So that's the, so on that. And it's the Home and Garden Network, but I noticed it's everything's about homes. Never seen anything about gardens in this thing, but it's always this stuff. And we used to watch these shows that were kind of called fixer uppers, and there's this predictable pattern in each one of these shows. And I was telling this to Tim. And he starts off with the contractor, and you got the couple, and they're walking around and they're giving them their wish list of what they want done with their house. And, you know, they want this wall removed so we can have that open concept look. And we want this back deck, and we want to put a pool, and we want to do all this kind of stuff. And they go, and what's your budget? And they tell them what their budget is. And then they go, like, yeah, I think we can make that work. And then the next segment is the demolition part. And then the demolition part comes into play when my wife and I call it the termite section of this thing. They're going to rip something out, and they're going to say, ooh, you got termites here. Yeah, if you got termites, or you got water damage, or you got a lodge full of beavers that have already occupied the place, and they have a contract going with their people, and they got stuff that they want to do. And so there's a segment, and they'll go like, oh, you know, you're going to need some more money to get this job done. That's what we've had here. We had the termites section. And it's like anytime you have an old structure, you're going to have surprises when you start this thing. And then you get the reaction to the people. Man, we thought we were going to be able to spend it on that pool. And we said, well, you're not going to be able to spend it on that pool. You're going to have to do something else with it. And you're going to have to get this new thing done. That's the same thing like with cars. I hate taking my car in. If I take it in there to get a windshield wiper removed, they go like, hey, while we was getting that windshield wiper removed, we saw this. This is broken and that's broken and you're going to need this thing. And certain death is just around the corner until you get that fixed. So then I got to do that stuff. So we're looking at it in the Sermon on the Mount here of this thing, of having to fix something here. So we're looking at this thing, you know, so I did a couple pages here before I missed. All right, so in Matthew 6, Jesus is like a contractor talking to us there. You know, he wants us to be in his kingdom. We want to be in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus wants us in there, but as he starts this, begins this sermon, which is his constitution for people in his kingdom, he tells us that we're going to be needing a new heart. And it's what we're going to discover. And many people kind of have that dramatic moment then when they find out, hey, you're going to need a new heart. And we're going, whoa, I wasn't expecting that type of stuff. So we're back in this Sermon on the Mount here. And when he talks about the heart, what he's talking about is our attitudes that we're going to have as Christians there. He starts off in Matthew 5, this sermon about the Beatitudes. Jesus is telling us not only what his citizens do, but how they think. He's not telling us, he doesn't want these Christians or these people, the disciples, that just go through the motions. They talk a big game, but in the meantime, they're looking constantly for loopholes so they can get out of doing what they need to do. And so many of us, when we really start to examine ourselves, and then we find out that we've got a defective or bad heart, And that means our attitudes aren't where Jesus wants us to be. And so that gets us surprised. So Jesus has shown us where our hearts should be so we can fix them. And we can do what's pleasing to God here on this. So it's not just how we act, but how we live, how we're going to be thinking. And again, like what Anthony just read, what kind of treasures are we storing up here? So Jesus shows us what true righteousness is. It's not the kind that the Pharisees had there. In Matthew 5 and verse 20, he says, you know, our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were doing all that loophole looking all the time here, trying to get out of these things. So he says, but we're going to be looking for the righteousness that's accepted by God. So it's all about the heart. Now, if we get our hearts right, then that's going to take care of a lot of things. It's going to take care of anxiety and worry. It's going to give us a purpose. We look at chapter 6 and verse 33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things are added to us. So we're going to have a purpose here. We're going to be seeking the kingdom. So this repairing of the heart, it continues now into chapter 7 here. Now, if you've done any demolition, it's messy. That was messy tearing the stage out here and stuff. You know, I don't know if you've ever had that. And we were doing putting an addition on our house, and just as the guys were showing up to start ripping things down there, I'm eating breakfast with Karen, and she's looking at this paper, and she's going like, "Hey, do you know how many divorces and suicides happen when people start doing work?" And I'm like, "Wow!" And all of a sudden, everything starts getting torn out there. Like, so it's dusty, it's messy, it's hard work. And a lot of these are going to be the same here with this. There's going to be some messy and required hard work here. These are going to be tough verses for many of us to get through here. So we're looking in chapter 7, and we're starting off in verse 1. He says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with what the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." I tell you, this chapter 7, verse 1, "Judge not, lest ye be judged," that's got to be about the most quoted verse in the Bible next to John 3:16. Anytime you're talking to somebody, "Oh, wait a minute, judge not lest ye be judged." Have you guys heard that? No, wait a minute, you're not supposed to be judging here and stuff. And they use it a lot, kind of like bear mace when you're talking to somebody. They want to spray that back at you. So when Jesus says, "Judge not lest ye be judged," does this mean then that we're never allowed to make a moral judgment on anything? People use this thing. That God is saying, "I don't want to hear any of this stuff of like, hey, what you're doing is displeasing to God. I don't want to hear you tell anybody, hey, what you're doing is sinful." Is this what Jesus is saying? And it is certainly not. If we look at verse 6, do not give what is holy to dogs. Just to start off that is a major judgment call being made that Jesus is saying. You got to make a judgment call to be doing something like that. Don't be giving that stuff to dogs. You know. So many times Jesus tells us to use what we've learned through the Word to make judgment calls. You know, we look at verse 5 here. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, leave that speck in your brother's eye. I don't want you to try to remove that speck." He keeps it. You're not supposed to be judging there. Jesus is never okay with sin there. Let me out there in John. The seventh chapter in verse 24, John 7, verse 24, he's telling us about the type of judgment we are to have. Verse 24, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment." 1 John 4 and verse 1 tells us this: "Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God." Here, we're making judgment calls here on this. Jesus is saying for us to judge according to the Word of God. And turning a blind eye to sin is not loving. It's not the right thing to do. But Jesus does want us to stop a certain type of judging to continue. He's got a certain type of judging he wants stopped. And that's that hypocritical judging. You know, Jesus speaks about here in verse 4 or in verse 3, he talks about a beam or a plank there. It's like a rafter, big old heavy thing, floor joist or something, like a battering ram is what he's looking at, he's talking about. And Jesus is using an exaggeration to make a point here. Can see this picture here? Some guy with a telephone pole stuck in his eye, and he's trying to do eye surgery on somebody, and that thing's waving around, smacking everything and stuff. You know, so we have to get our own eyes fixed before we can help others. So it's easy for me to want to concentrate on everybody else's weaknesses rather than my own. And how destructive is that for me to be criticizing somebody when I'm committing the exact same kind of sins that they are and stuff. You know, but how encouraging is it when you're talking to somebody and you're telling them, you know, when they're struggling with sin, and then you tell them, yeah, I struggle with sin too. And then the change for people that they have that. And I, for me, I always tell them my war stories, when I'm talking to people about that, I can tell you what doesn't work. I can't tell you a lot of times what does work, but I can tell you I'm struggling with that stuff too. And here's what's helped me. But we are never to accept sin. We need to get that beam out of our own eyes so we can see better to help others here. You know that verse 2 here, which says, for what judgment you'll be judged, you'll be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. That fault-finding heart, we don't want to have that. That fault-finding heart, that heart that we have that's always looking for something bad. And that's that destructive and hypocritical judgment there. That heart that is always looking for somebody to jump on, you know, ready to come at them all the time there. That speck, you know, in verse 3 it says that speck in your brother's eyes. He's talking about the speck in your brother's eyes. He's not talking to Pharisees here. He's talking to his own disciples. You know, and that's that question we always have, you know, being a person who's judgmental. Do we have any of those in churches here? And say, yeah, we do. We have those kind of people that they are ready to come down like a ton of bricks on somebody in Christian love, getting them all straightened out there and while they're doing all that stuff. But you look at there in Matthew, you know, here's the catch-all. You get this one all the time. You got 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That is your major catch-all. So you're doing something and go, that looks like evil to me. Better knock it off. So everybody's jumping on that. Is it evil? I don't know. It's all appearance. It's appearance to anybody's opinion on that. So instead of looking at, is this really the way God has it set up there? So we got like Matthew 5:7. It says, blessed are the merciful, they will obtain mercy. And then Matthew 6:12, when he's talking about the Lord's Prayer, that he goes, you know, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There's that attitude they want with our judging here, having that compassionate stuff. So Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, is not a plea to be blind, but to have a generous heart there. And this is very challenging to some people. I don't like to look at myself. I like to look at other people, but I don't like to look at myself. So, you know, so we look at these things. And now if I have a talk to them, I have to start thinking about when I'm talking to people, how would I want to be treated? How would I, if I'm in a sinful state, how I would want somebody to approach me to talk to me about that? And we need to be looking on our hearts, and we need to have to work to have a generous heart. So if our heart's bad, we need to work on getting a generous heart. But in verse 6, it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, nor cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you into pieces. Okay, we also have to have a wise heart when we're talking to people here. Now, who doesn't like dogs? Cute little things. Oh, man, do all of this. This is sweet. But how did the people in the first century, especially Jews, look at dogs? Dogs were unclean. They ran around in packs. And they carried rabies, and nobody had those things as pets stuff. You had to deal with it. They were scary animals. And what about pigs? You know that there, what's that, today there's like millions of feral pigs down in the south part of the country, Texas. And you just see these, I watch these videos of these guys catching these things. And they got the big tusks. And they're in this little cage. And the guy's standing there looking at it. And then two or three of them come charging and ram right into this fence trying to get to this guy. And I'm like, yeah, you got to have one of those as a pet. Well, those are, it's not those little potbelly pigs we're used to having around here. Those things are, they're mean back in that. And Jesus is saying, don't give what's valuable to these wild things. Now, Jesus uses the term pearl when speaking about the kingdom of heaven here. In Matthew 13, in verse 45, he talks about compares the kingdom to a pearl of great price there. In Proverbs 3, in verses 13 and 15, we're talking about wisdom. Wisdom, it's better than silver. It's more precious than rubies here. So we look at this thing. So but he's talking about this thing, but he says to be in Matthew 10, though, we look in Matthew 10. And it's a story, and we see the account of Jesus sending out his apostles two by two into Judea to preach there. But he talks of that in chapter 10, you know, I think verse 14. Chapter 10, verse 14, he says, "And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet there." He says, if they're not going to receive you and they're not going to hear your words, shake the dust off your feet and you move on. Jesus never forces people to believe. He never tries to make people come to faith. I mean, it's amazing. People would do that back 1,000 years ago. Say, we're going to, you say, would you like to become a Christian or would you like to be burned to the stake? Yeah, I'm sure that person was really converted to Christ there because he wanted to do that. So he just says those words. His heart is far from him. That is not the way Jesus has us making citizens in his kingdom in there. So after five verses of speaking about having a generous heart, again, that's not ignoring faults or sins, and now it's realizing that not everyone is going to be receptive to the word. They're not going to be listening with good intent here. So I tell you, we was talking about Patrick's baptism. Archie and I were saying like how easy that was. It's really easy when somebody wants to hear the truth and is genuinely searching. It's an easy thing. In fact, we had a lot more stuff that we were going to talk about. We had a lot more stuff we were going to have to, because you figure the people kind of fighting that stuff. So we need to be, you know, when they're listening with good intent, then it's a lot easier. But there's a lot of people, they're not listening with good intent. They're not interested there. So we need to be wise about where we bring the gospel message. Remember that? We used to think this thing of, you know, the idea of the fire and brimstone sermon to strangers. Get up there and yell, you know, forever suffer the eternal damnation of the fiery realms of hell. And everybody's going to start making that walk up to the altar and stuff. No, if they're not listening to you now, they're not going to listen to you about that either stuff. You know, so you got some friend or your neighbor who doesn't believe. They got no interest at all in the work. And then some of us go like, boy, I got my work cut out for me on this guy. I'm going to have to keep working and working and working. I said, no, it's that thinking we need to have is, I think I need to move on to somebody else there and stuff. You know, we want to make sure, though, that we're presenting the gospel in the right way to people. Sometimes we think they don't like the message when it's really they don't like us, the way we treat them and stuff like that. So, but spending hour after hour debating with somebody who absolutely doesn't have, you know, any interest, or are they really interested, or they just want to have an argument, or they want to have some kind of conflict, you know, or they want to attack you, it's kind of time to move on to find somebody else there. Stuff. You know, so you can't make anyone believe. And so I have to watch out how I communicate on social media and stuff. I've kind of learned that. Says I'm not. It's very, very easy to start picking at people instead. I just go, now, here's what this verse says. What do you guys think about it? And a lot of times when you're talking to those kind of people, you're not talking to them. You're talking to the people that are listening, that are reading those things and stuff. We have to be wise because there are some people we cannot teach and then we cannot help here and stuff. So we're down here now in verses 7 of chapter 7 here. It says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask? Here and stuff. So, verse 7 through 11, it says, if we want to have a generous and wise heart, well, how do we get that? Well, Jesus says we need to be asking for it. Asking. Asking is praying about it there. Now, some people think that when verse 7 starts up, it's a change of the subject moment here. Back to asking for stuff, you know, like riches and health and power and that. But if we're sticking to the theme here of this chapter here, what kind of heart citizens in Christ's kingdom are going to have, then this just becomes clear. It says, if you desire a good heart, God can give you one. We just need to be asking. A lot of times in my prayers every day, I'm always praying. I says, Lord, you know my heart is now. Mold it to fit, to do what you want me to do. You know, let's think about it. Do we pray that way? You know, mold my heart, change my way of thinking here and stuff. But you know, a lot of people, nope, I'm too busy asking for stuff to be that. I just want to keep the heart the same way. We have to be asking God to change it there. And if we got the right heart, we have everything we need. We got peace, we got security, we got serenity. Everything we need if we have the right kind of heart. And this is more than just a one-time asking thing. This is just a continuing asking thing on this. We look in there in verses 9 through 10. It's like how we treat our own children. We give the child everything that they need. You got to be kind of badly evil not to want to give your kids everything they need. We don't give them everything they want. We just give you guys what you need. But somebody denies that, says, no, I'm not going to give my kid anything what they need. That, we're going like, ooh, that's bad stuff that you're doing that. And he says in verse 11, you being evil, we being evil, we still know how to take care of our kids. He said, what do you think God's going to do for us, for our hearts? So prayer comes because we trust that God's good. And I know you guys have sacrificed for your kids. Well, God will sacrifice for us there. God who loves us even more, then He'll give us what we need. He'll give us what we need when, as we need it, and when we need it. All right, so verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know. Now, this is called the golden rule. And this is therefore we see that. This is summation to this point here. How you're going to be acting differently. So it's not just don't do bad things to other people, because you could do nothing for anybody and you're not doing anything bad. But if this goes further, he says, Jesus goes further. He says, we do something. We treat people the way that we would want to be treated. And if you haven't been doing that, I don't want anything to do with people, then you're going to need a new heart, because that's not the way we want to be doing things here. Stuff. So, and here we can test our hearts here. You know, do you have a good heart? Well, how do you treat others? And this is the law and the prophets. This means this is the law here. So it doesn't matter how other people are treating me. And that, again, the destructive stuff, this is a hard verse to get to. This is hard. I'm going to be needing some help here and stuff. So if you're new to this thing, getting a good heart, well, let's make some plans here real quick. Is what kind of good are you planning to do this week? A lot of us just kind of go through the motions. We drive down the road. We get to work. We just do our stuff and we get back in, completely oblivious to all the people that are around us. We got good that we can do everywhere we go and stuff. Yeah. So we got to, you know, it's like exercise. Strengthens our heart. You go out there, I guess runners got a gigantic heart from exercising and stuff there. I guess that. But if you do that, if you practice this, then you're going to have a much better heart there on this. Pushing through those feelings to do good for others, and it strengthens our spiritual heart there and stuff. All right, summation. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 12. We have to have a good heart. It's got to be generous. Helping others is how we guide them. And we're going to guide them through compassion, not anger. So we're not going to be looking for faults for somebody so that we can smack them with the Bible and stuff on that. But we got to be wise when we're doing this. So quit banging your head against a brick wall trying to get somebody to convert when they have absolutely no interest on that thing. And if you, because other people need you, you're spending all your time on somebody that's not going to be listening. You're going to get discouraged when there's so many other people out there that are ready to hear the word stuff. And if you ask, God is ready to give you a great heart. And always, I put this down here, wrote this thing, fake it till you make it. Sometimes you have to need you to do this stuff, even though you don't want to, but just do it. But practicing, keep practicing, and that good heart is going to come there. So that's my sermon for this morning. Thank you guys for your listening. So we offer this time an invitation to anybody that needs some help, needs the prayers of the saints, needs to be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's some way we can help you with whatever need you have, come on forward while we'll stand and we'll sing our song of invitation.